And Sister Cherry, we love you. We're praying for your family. Her son, Ronald, passed away this week. And so we want to remember the family. How many know it's hard when you do love lose a loved one? And so our prayers are with Sister Cherry and their whole family. They're going to be gathering together and remembering Ronald this week. And so I know they'll need your prayers. So anyway, God is good. We're looking forward to this coming Saturday. It's going to be so awesome right out here on this parking lot. And Belinda, we love you, and you're just a testimony to all of our efforts out there. If it's just for one person, how many know it's worth it? Amen. 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 So, but it's going to be good. We're remembering Brother and Sister North. They're ministering this morning over in East Dallas. So, or somewhere over there. That's north of it, north of Dallas, isn't it? All right, all right. So I know they're having a wonderful time as always. And their group, Mercy Song Revival, will be here singing on Saturday at the event. So that's going to be very special. And then Brother Kevin will be bringing the word after that. So, oh my gosh, it'll be fast. It's what they call fast and furious come Saturday morning. It is going to be good. All right, let's get right into the Word. And I told Brandon I'm talking about dirt today. And so he sells dirt. And I said he will never look at dirt the same again after today. How's that? So when he sells that dirt this week. So we're taking our text this morning from Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Title of my message this morning is Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. Would you look at your neighbor beside you and say, yes, I am.
Yes, I am.
Amen. Yes, we all are. Fearfully and wonderfully made. How many of you this morning grew up watching nature shows? I remember watching a show at a young age called Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. All right, you're telling your age now. So you're telling your age. Each week, the show would focus in on some part of the animal kingdom around the world. And each week, we would be taken on a journey to some faraway land, and they would show us the natural habitat of some animal or bird or reptile. And one week it might be a show about the lions living in Africa, or the next week it might be about the elephants or the crocodiles. Each week we would see that it would be filled with knowledge and intrigue as they would encounter all kinds of animals. And the show was instrumental then in increasing environmental awareness in our country. And it taught how to be better citizens and caretakers of the planet. And it paved then the way for other shows. And today we have such channels dedicated to nature, like the Discovery Channel and Animal Planet. And one of the things those shows did that it did not do was spend a great deal of time on us humans, as humans. I can't remember a show that focused exclusively on humans. In more present times, if you watch nature shows today, we're often seen as the main problem in nature. And sometime during the show, there will be something said about how we are harming then the birds and the animals and the fish in the sea. And we know that there are those out there that believe that if there was less of us, everything would be perfect. And we know they're trying to do that. Yet the Bible is clear in sharing that the greatest creation that exists on this planet is all of us. There's no debate about this if you read the Bible. God is clear in saying this over and over again. And I love the way that the Holy Spirit impressed upon the writers of the book of Genesis to record our creation. Again, Genesis 2 and 7 tells us that we were created from the dust of the ground. The word dust used here can also mean dirt and clay and mud or just simply earth. We were not spoken into creation like the sun, the moon, and the stars. We were not spoken into creation like the oceans and the rivers and the streams. We were not spoken into creation like the birds and the animals and the reptiles and the fish. We were not spoken into creation like the mountains, the hills, and the valleys. God reached down and, so to speak, put his fingers into the earth and formed us. God lovingly formed us out of some dirt or clay. We truly are the work of his hands. At first, all of this may sound rather odd. And why were we not spoken into existence? Why use dirt of all things? Why not use gold or diamonds? Or why not use some parts of some trees or even parts of other animals? Why dirt? Well, I don't have a definitive answer. All I do know is that of all the things that God created on our planet and around us, we are different. Would you look at your neighbor and say, we're different. We are different in design and we're different in purpose. And we come from dirt. And as the Bible tells us then, our physical bodies will go back to the dirt if the Lord tarries very long. In other words, there is a part of us that is bound to the ground. We come from the ground and we work with the ground. Also, everything around us comes from the dirt. We are dirt creations who also create with dirt. And I believe that perhaps God created us out of dirt for us maybe to always remember to be humble. While the rest of creation can boast about being brought into existence by the Word of God, we have to humbly state that we were formed from earth's dust and that one day our physical bodies will return to earth's dust. It is good for us at times then to remember that we come from dirt. You're going to sleep remembering that word before this is over today. We owe our existence to the earth. And when we think of things in that way, it is to help us be humble and modest. It's to remind us that God used the very lowest of substances to create us. Yet understand that God did not do that to degrade us. He did not do that to make us look down upon ourselves. And God certainly would not want us to see ourselves as some living dirt bags. Have you ever heard of that slogan? It is good for us then to get a healthy look then at our ego and to remind ourselves that we started out as dirt, yet it was God's dirt. I don't say that to put us down, but it's true that our beginnings are rather simple and humble. We come from this planet. When we put our toes then into the earth, it is from such earth that God created Adam and Eve. And since Eve came from Adam, she too then comes from the dirt. In fact, the Bible wants us to understand then the very opposite. God always takes that which is simple and humble and plain, and in his hands they become, guess what? Glorious and majestic and amazing. We serve an awesome God. Being made from dirt is only part of our amazing story. There is the other side of the creation coin, so to speak. If we were just dirt, then we would be most pitied. And if we were just dirt, then our story on this planet would be rather depressing and rather sad. But that is just part of the verse. For as we continue to read, we see where our dirt becomes this glorious and majestic and amazing living and breathing being. God takes His dirt creation and does something that we don't see anywhere else in creation. God breathes life into His creation. God breathes His own life-giving breath into Adam, and he becomes this unbelievably incredible and again magnificent living human being. You and me and every other human being started off with Adam, God's dirt. We are in essence God's dirt creation. We are dirt that has been lovingly shaped by God's hands. Dirt that has at its very core the supreme intelligence and fingerprints of a mighty God. Listen to how the psalmist describes all of this. For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. When God made humans, we were perfect. We were made in His likeness and in His image. Adam and Eve had no flaws. They had no blemishes and they had no imperfections. When God breathed His breath into us, we came alive. Alive differently than all of the animals, all of the birds, and all of the trees and plants. For when we came alive, we not only possessed physical life, but we were given spiritual life. God breathed Himself into Adam and therefore into all humanity. So in the hierarchy of creation, we occupy then a very special place above all the rest. We were created to enjoy a special relationship with the Lord here on this earth. God loved all of His creation, yet if the truth be told, He loves us most. And that is not to make us arrogant, because we remember we were dirt, but to just reveal the truth. You and I are God's most precious creation. We are greater than the mountains and the hills and the oceans and the streams. We are greater than even the angels. That may be hard to fathom, but the Bible tells us that one day we ourselves will rule over the angels. We were created by God Himself, formed by His hands, and brought to life by His death. We were created to be in a deep and intimate relationship, Brandon, with the Father. We were created to talk to God, to learn from God, and to be one with Almighty God. No other part of creation was created to do those things to the depth that we are able then to do it. Again, that is not to brag, but it is to just share the truth. You and I were created to listen to God and to be able to talk to God. We were created to walk in the cool of the day with God. We were created to share our thoughts with God and receive from Him continually the insight and the knowledge and the wisdom. We were created to do exactly what He first did on this earth. Create. God put within our hands the ability to create then a world that was to look like the Garden of Eden. Yet we know now, because of the fall of Adam and Eve, all of that changed. Today, humans are no longer perfect. We are now fallen, and many are broken and still damaged. Yet what is so amazing is that that being fallen and broken and damaged did not stop God from reaching out to us. Verse 7 reminds us who we were created to be. And the stories in the Bible then reveals to us that it is possible in the midst of the fall to still connect and learn and lean into God. All we have to do is open our Bibles and we will find story after story of human beings reaching out to the Lord and the Lord then reaching out to them. We will find story after story of fallen and broken and damaged human beings connecting with God. Through the Bible, we find those like a man by the name of Seth, and then there was Noah and Ruth and Hannah, and then how about David himself? We were created to have a special relationship with one another. Eve comes from Adam, and Adam comes from God's dirt. And yes, we are different. Women and men are different. You need to hear this. We are not the same. We are made male and female. There are only two genders, male and female. And please understand that God did not make a mistake when He made you a male or a female. We were created to understand one another and to be in the most intimate and beautiful relationship with one another. And that is what we read about in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. Adam and Eve not only were created to have this wonderful and special relationship with God, but with one another. They were designed to share life with one another. Again, you may once again say that the fall changed everything. Men and women were changed. We don't always understand one another. And at times, guess what? It seems like we don't even like one another. Can you imagine that? Men and women seem to be at odds with one another. But what happened after the fall is not what God intended for humanity. God intended for men and women, males and females, to be as one. We can see that then in the early church recorded in Acts chapter 4 of our Bibles. We find that they worshiped together. They learned together. And they shared together, Sister Sunny. They prayed together. They ate together. They had all things in common. There is a oneness that does exist, we know, between a couple. But there is also a oneness that can be shared among a group of people, especially believers. This is one of the beautiful things about the church, especially the local church. We can be separate individuals coming to a particular location that spend time together singing songs and sharing testimonies, exactly like what happened today, and then listening to a message. We can be separate individuals that even gather around a table sharing food. But if that is all we do, then we are living below the level that God wants us to live. A true church is one who meshes its heart and its mind and soul to one another. A true church is one who allows their lives then to melt together, as we see in the New Testament. Remember the story of the woman caught in adultery, or the woman that was at the well, or even the story of the leper who comes to Jesus. All of those stories have a common theme running through them. All of those individuals were seen then as outcast. they were seen as people who, while they were made by God and was given life by God, were also seen as nothing by those who lived around them. Some of them had brought all of this upon themselves. Others were mere victims of the actions of others. Remember, though, how Jesus treats all of them in each of those stories. Guess what? He forgives them. He lifts them up. He embraces them. He brings healing and wholeness into their lives. He brings them back then into the community, Brandon. He restores them into people of value and people of worth. He reminds everyone then that every human being is valuable. Made from dirt, yes, but breathed life into by God Himself. This morning, one of the most beautiful pictures that is on our earth is when a group of people embrace their dirtness alongside their godliness. When they become one with God and one with one another. When they reach out and create a community that struggles and argues and laughs and cries and melts together as they encourage then one another. As they love one another, forgive one another, and share life with one another. And guess what? That is our mission. That is our commission as we work with the Holy Spirit. God did not give up on His dirt creations after the fall of Adam and Eve. Instead, He walks out of the garden with them. He then walks all the way to Calvary, and He gives His life so that humanity could be rescued and redeemed. The Lord gives His life so that we could be restored into His image. Watch this now. God did not give up on us. He instead made a way for His Spirit to be breathed back into us. Just as He did at creation. And that is what happens when we are born again. We are made into a new creation. Not just a dirt creation, but a creation that once again has God's Spirit breathing new life into us. God's Spirit, His Holy Spirit, then teaches us and guides us on how to live a life here on this earth that can only be described as amazing. This morning, yes, every one of us are amazing, and we are made from dirt. And one day we will return to the dirt if the Lord tarries. But at the same time, we are made from dirt by the hands of Almighty God. We are not by accident. You were not an accident. We did not come from the rest of creation. We were wonderfully fashioned by God Himself. He alone is our maker. We are made by His hands. And even more wonderful than all of that is the fact that we have life today because God breathed life into us when we were born again. And even more amazing than that is that all of that is what Paul reminds us of in 2 Corinthians 4 and 7, that we are God's jars of clay. We are God's jars filled with His Holy Spirit. We are God's jars that the Lord calls the light of the world and the salt of the earth. We are God's jars that have been given power and authority to transform life all the way around us. We may be dirt, but we are dirt filled with the power of the Lord God Almighty. We may be dirt, but we are dirt that can move mountains, that can bring healing and wholeness. There's power in our words. We can be transforming agents. Paul himself saw himself as God's dirt, but he also saw himself as being empowered by God to transform Jerusalem, the Roman Empire, and the entire world. He believed that he himself as dirt could help bring everlasting life to another dirt. He believed that in Christ he could transform the Roman Empire and the entire world. And you know what? He and others that have followed the Lord did just that. The Bible says they turned their world upside down. They took a world that started off with just Jesus and a few followers. And today they say there are over 2.5 billion people who call Jesus Christ Savior and Lord. There are over 2.5 billion people living with the Spirit inside of them, guiding and teaching them how to live a righteous and holy life on this earth. But you may ask, what can I do as just an individual jar of God's clay? Let me close with this reminder. Reith, would you come on up? In John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, we're not going to read it for the sake of time, the apostle shares with us an encounter that the Lord had with a woman by the name of Mary. John shares that this woman took an alabaster jar of expensive ointment and anointed the feet of Jesus. All of this happens just a few days before Jesus is arrested and crucified. Mary is just a young woman. At this time, she's neither married nor engaged, but she is a follower of Jesus. She is a person who loves Jesus so much that she's willing now to give up this costly perfume to use it on Jesus' feet. And this scene is one of the most beautiful passages in the Bible. It is the scene of amazing sacrifice and unbridled love. It is a scene of a person who wants another person to know that they are totally committed and dedicated to them. It is also the scene of what a jar of clay then can do when it wants to worship and adore its maker. Mary knew who Jesus was. She knew he was the anointed one. She knew that he was the creator and the savior of the world. And so as a jar of clay made from God's dirt and filled with God's Spirit, she changes the very atmosphere in the room with her actions and with her love and with her gift of sacrifice. The ointment that she uses not only makes Jesus smell fantastic, but as she used her own hair, she shares then that amazing smell with others in the room. Even if Judas tried to portray it as a waste, as it was an expensive gift. It was simply then a person who had been created by God and was filled with God's breath, allowing themselves to be used in such a way that changed everything around them. The room was changed. Jesus was changed. Mary was changed. Those that were witnessing it were changed. And the story then has stood the test of time. And Jesus actually said wherever the gospel message would be preached, that this lady would be remembered. A story of when one of God's clay jars lived in such a way to be a light unto the world, a sweet and smelling sacrifice to those all around, and a witness then of God's agape love forever. Yes, we are dirt. We come from dirt and we will return to dirt. But in the midst of our dirt, God has put within us His breath. Are you thankful for that today? Sadly, there are some that will spend their life doing nothing more than starting off as dirt and ending up as dirt. They will never know what it means to experience everlasting life. That will happen because, sadly, they will reject Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Yet we never give up on sharing, do we? We never give up on loving people. We never give up on praying for our loved ones and those around us who do not know Jesus. Thankfully, there are and will be many more who accept the Lord Jesus into their life. There will be many more who will confess their need for Jesus, who will allow then Him to renew their minds, and then they will receive forgiveness and redemption. There will be many that will be filled then with His Spirit. Many that will understand that's all we need to do, that all we need to do is repent of our sins. Many that will understand that all we need to do is to turn towards the Lord Jesus and allow Him then to cleanse us and redeem us and then infill us with His Spirit. As we close this morning, how is your jar of clay? Is it filled with God's Spirit? Have you been born again? Have you been rescued and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? If so, are you allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you on a daily basis? Are you enjoying abundant life that Jesus promised every one of us? Think about that today. Now, what we're going to do, the Lord spoke to my heart, I do believe, this week. How many know there's a lot of things going on in the world today? And we know that this old world is not going to get any better. It's only going to get worse before the Lord's return. But we're under His wings. We are in His hands. And guess what? Nothing can pluck us out of His hands if you're part of the family of God. So what we're going to do today, Ruth is going to sing here, and then we're going to receive communion. And we're going to stay, you're going to stay right where you're at. But I've asked some guys to come on up. Y'all come on up now. And they're going to serve that to you right where you're sitting. And when you receive that little cup with the bread in it, just hold on to it, because we will receive it all together here in just a little bit. But you search your heart today as Ruth sings. Search your heart and let God just speak to your heart today. Go ahead, Ruth, and sing this song.
The room grew still as she made her way to Jesus. She stumbles through the tears that made her blind. She felt such pain, and some spoke in anger, heard folks whisper, "There's no place here for her kind." Still on she came, through the shame that flushed her face, until at last she knelt before His feet. Though she spoke no words, Everything she said was heard as she poured her love for the master from her box of alabaster. Now I've come to pour my praise on him like oil Mary's alabaster box. Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears and I dry them with my hair. You weren't there the night he found me. You did not feel what I found. I can't forget the way life used to be. I was a prisoner to the sins that had me bound. I spent my days, poured my life without measure into a little treasure box. I thought I'd found
Bible speaks about the bread representing the Lord's body, and as we partake of the bread here in just a moment, it's going to represent his body being broken for us, for our healing. And then as we partake of the drink representing the blood for our salvation, his blood was shed for our salvation. And not only that, but for our protection. And so let me just read some scriptures here real quick. Just listen to it. This is from 1 Corinthians, and Paul writes this. He said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye in oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes." Sister Cherry, come on down. Brandon, would you hand her the microphone? She's going to pray before we partake. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got one more verse, so hang on to your microphone. Isaiah 53 and verse 5 says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him." Now listen to this. "And with his stripes, we are healed." Now, how many believe God's word? His word is true. It does not lie. The stripes that he bore, 39 stripes, covered every disease. And it also covers every disease that they can come out with, every virus that they might come out with in the future. And we know the enemy wants to do all kind of junk. But we're under God's protection. And I'm telling you today, after Sister Cherry prays, we're going to partake. And I want you to, by faith, you believe for your healing today to begin to take place. God will do, I believe he's going to do a miracle in our bodies today. I don't know about you, but you know I need something also. But we all, God was, he's going to do it today, and he's going to begin to do some things. There's going to be something start taking place from this day forward. And I told someone, a couple of them, I felt the Lord impress me that from this moment on, from this Sunday on to the end of the year, we're going to receive communion at the end of our service every Sunday, because we know the enemy wants to come. And he always does. He comes on a Monday morning and begins to lie to us about the word that you may have heard on Sunday and what you might have received from that word. We know he's a liar and he's a thief. And we're going to take him for what he is. We know that. And so we're going to stand on God's word. And you just know after we, as we are partaking of this, then we're going to spend a few moments and we're going to let the Lord just work in our bodies today and in our minds today. All right, Sister Cherry, go ahead and you pray a prayer and then we're going to partake.
The knowledge of God. Yes. Bringing every thought to act, bring every thought to the captivity, to the obedience of Jesus Christ. I'm sorry. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the privilege to be able to partake in communion today. As the pastor said and had all the testimonies and words this morning, God, we know this is healing in communion. We know you surround us and you keep us. But God, we know in our hearts we trust you and we depend on you. The devil in hell can't move us. They said no height, no depth, nothing can separate us from your love this morning. From your love at all, in Jesus' name, we pray. We thank you, Lord, for this. And we do trust and believe in our hearts and in our spirits that there's healing in the power of communion. There's healing in your blood. There's healing in your broken body and in your blood. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And an amen. All right. If you'll take the bread, let's all partake. Lord, we thank you that this represents your body that was broken for us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed today. And as we partake of this cup, representing the blood that was shed for us, he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. For our salvation, blood was shed. And today we're also including it, and it includes the whole thing. The whole burrito. Everything in it. I must be hungry or something. I need a street taco. Includes our protection. Amen. Amen. You don't have to live your life in fear. You don't have to go in fear worrying about walking through a crowd. We have Psalms 91 that we stand on. Read it every day. Leave it open on your dresser. Hallelujah. We either believe his word or we don't. I choose to believe his word today. So Lord, we just partake of this cup in remembrance of the blood that you shed. Let's do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, Reith, would you just play a little bit? We're just going to let the Holy Spirit move here for a little bit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whatever you're needing, by faith, you take it today. Hallelujah. Harabashata basata kaya. Lora basata basata. Handora basata basata. Lora bakaya rabahasata.